Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was lifted up for our salvation. Our sermon texts today are the words from John 3, beginning at verse 14, and I would invite you to rise as we hear that gospel reading. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Increase our faith. Set us apart from this world, that we might see your Son lifted up for our salvation. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, my first call was to serve a parish in Florida. And it wasn't too far away from what some people think of as the creepiest place on earth. It's the world's premier herpetology lab. And now you're asking, what in the world is herpetology? Well, that's the study of snakes. This lab that I'm talking about had thousands and thousands of different kinds of snakes, almost every variety you can imagine, and many of them very venomous. Rattlesnakes and pit vipers and black mambas. In this lab, one of the things that they did there was they worked to produce much of the world's supply of antivenom. They would take the purified venom from thousands of these snakes and inject the venom into special animals, and then they would extract the antibodies in the animal's blood to make a tiny little vial of antivenom for each kind of snake venom, an antidote. This morning, God tells us in our sermon text that he has the only antidote for the venom of that snake, Satan. And first, we're going to see that Satan's venomous bite brings death. The scriptures tell us about that through and through. And then we'll see how Christ received the deadly sting for us. And finally, we'll see that God's grace is the anti-venom. Now, the scriptures speak a lot about the deadly serpent we're talking about. You won't find him in a lab. He is that serpent of old, Satan, a fallen angel. The bite of a rattlesnake can paralyze you for maybe a few hours or possibly kill you. The bite of a black mamba will almost certainly kill you within a few minutes. But Satan's bite is even more deadly. The bite of Satan always brings about the death of the body, but it works slowly and painfully. The days of our lives, the scriptures say, are 70 years, if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We all are going to die one day. The toxin is so potent that it works its way down from parents to children, so that the children are born dying already from that venom. Paul says in Romans, sin entered the world through one man. He's talking about Adam there. And death through sin. Satan bit our first parents, Adam and Eve, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And through them, all of us have inherited that venom of Satan coursing in our veins. And the symptoms are everywhere we look. Everywhere. We were created in the image of God to serve Him, but when we look at ourselves, do we see God reflected? When we really stop to think about our activities and our priorities, are we serving God as we were created to do, or do we not often find that we're serving ourselves? Do we reflect love toward all, even when it's difficult or distasteful, because the scriptures tell us God is love? Or do we try to just make everybody comfortable and happy, even when they're doing something that's self-destructive? The symptoms abound. None of us can walk away from God's law thinking that we're untouched by the venom of the serpent. Sin courses through us. Sin creates all the miseries of this life. What can I do? How can I get the poison out of me? I'm sure many people bitten by snakes have thought that. When we fully understand the horrible effects of Satan's venom, then we cannot help but want it out of our systems. But there's that sinking feeling of despair. There's no human antidote, no drug, nothing that can remove this from our nature. Thanks be to God that He is merciful and gracious. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. He has freely given us the antidote because He desires that we not die, but live, that we turn from our evil ways. The only true cure for that venom of sin is His grace. You know, that anti-venom for Satan's bite cost God dearly. He had to give up His own Son. Christ had to come down from heaven and become one of us, a human being, so that He could produce in Himself the real antidote for us. Christ came willingly to receive the bite of the serpent, to receive sin into Himself. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works, it says in our text. During this season of Lent, we see our Savior going out to that cursed tree of the cross and being lifted up. He went there because He knew that only He could do what needed to be done. Only He could provide the cure for sin in His own body. He allowed Himself to be hung up on that cross so that all mankind could look there and believe in Him and trust God's promises and have eternal life. This is the picture that God had once presented to the Israelites many years before. The picture of the serpent lifted up on the cross, the one who had become sin, lifted up for us. He who had no sin of His own became the very embodiment of sin on the cross. It says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Christ is the fulfillment of that bronze serpent on the pole. Where once the Israelites had looked up to a piece of metal because God made a promise to them and attached that promise to that image so that it would cure them. Well, now we have the real thing, the fulfillment of the ages. As Christians, we see the promise of God there on that cross, lifted up for us, the God-man dying for our sins to provide the cure for our race. What love outpoured there for each and every one of us. That's what that little word "so" means in John 3:16. It doesn't mean God loved us so much. It means that God loved us so much that God loved us so that He lifted up His Son upon the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So did it work? God cannot fail in his purposes, and he loves us. Did it work? Well, the proof is Easter morning, where we see Christ step forth from the tomb. And if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, Paul writes, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. God's grace is the antivenom. It is what we need more than anything else in the world. His undeserved love for sinners like you and me. We need the care of that great physician for the venom and the many wounds that we receive when we venture too close to the devil and receive his bite. God washes our wounds in the waters of baptism. He dresses us in the clean white bandages of faith because his Son died for us. He even distributes the precious anti-venom through Christ's own precious body and blood directly to us. God administers the cure in many ways: word, his gospel, and sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And that cure doesn't just hide the symptoms. Whether through word or sacraments, it begins to remove the poison immediately. Does that mean that once we've received God's grace, we don't have to deal with sin anymore? Well, no, unfortunately, we're bitten afresh every time we, in our weakness, stray into the lair of the serpent, every time we fall to a temptation. That's why God gives us the cure each and every day, each and every week, each and every year, each time we hear the gospel, whether in word or sacrament. He brings to us the cure. Well, what happens when we don't think we need the cure anymore? When we're good enough in our own minds? Well, sometimes this happens when we're delirious from sin's effects. That's what God gave the law for, the daily diagnosis of the problem, to show us our need, our desperate need for his grace. But then he always comes with that healing balm of the gospel to soothe our souls and to remove the poison of our sins. Our great physician will not fail. That's why we may have boldness and confidence as Christians. We can go forth from here today knowing that God has the only antidote, that he's given us that antidote freely, and that it works perfectly. We're forgiven. We have eternal life in him. We have the antivenom for sin, for Satan's deceptions. Does that mean we want to stray near that awful snake? To give in to temptation? Well, of course not. Stick to the narrow way that God has marked out for you in this world. You can walk there in faith, doing good works that God has given you to do. There's no confidence in ourselves to fix the problem. That's not what walking in Christ means. It means that he was lifted up for us. It means that he was crucified for us. That he died and was resurrected for us. So don't look to yourself, but look to him. Trust what he has done for you. Look to him in his word and his sacrament daily and receive the antidote for your sin. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.